is cold. I know I'm picky. I have a hard enough time drinking water, but when it's cold, it just makes me cold. I don't like it. Is that weird? I don't know. Maybe it's weird. You know, pastor said that he was happy. He bowled 179. That wasn't very good. I'm hoping when I bowl two or three games, they all add up to 179. So that sounded really good to me. I'm not really sure where he was going with that. But turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. We are going to start a series on the Holy Spirit. It's going to roll through Mother's Day, and we'll honor the mothers absolutely on Mother's Day. But there's no one greater to honor than the Lord. So we want to make sure we keep it there as well. So please come on back, because we're not going to finish today. And then we have baptisms, and then I'll be gone a week, the pastor's going to preach. But the culmination of this, I'm going to give you the title of this, because I don't know how long it's going to take, and I'm not really in a hurry, to be honest with you. We have how many Sundays left in the year, right? So that's how long it might take. But at the end of this, I want pastor to get up here and preach, because he's wonderfully anointed to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that'll be the culmination of it. It may not land directly on the day of Pentecost, but we're going to be speaking about the Holy Spirit and who he is through the day of Pentecost. But I just, you know, I'm 40 and I've been saved a long time. And I just really feel like the last few years, the Lord is really showing me who he wants to be in my life and who I've not allowed him to be at this point. And that's a very humbling experience. But my title here that we're going to start in a series is The Holy Spirit, His Nature and Leading. So that's what I want to talk to you about. Who is he? And how does he lead us? And then we'll talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the culmination of this. Because here at Spirit of Life Church, we absolutely believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for today. Pastor, I don't want you to lean on this, because we noticed there the other day that this whole left side has come off of the base. So be careful. You're a leaner, so I don't want you to fall over. All right. Praise the Lord. John 14, verse 16 through 17. Yeah, buy another one that's kind of covered here. It's odd. Verse 16 says it like this. I apologize. Let's get going. Here, let's just pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to come and to minister your word. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to know who you are better, to know your nature. What drives you? What's your passions? What's your goal? What's your will for our lives? And to know how you lead us as we go in and out through these scriptures revealing who you are. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit, his nature and leading. John chapter 14, verse 16 says this. This is Jesus speaking. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither does the world know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is not only with us, but he is in us and he can be upon us. How great is that? We're not walking alone in this world today. We're not walking, you know, without parameters or without guidelines or without leading, but we are led by the Lord himself, right? The three are one. We have God the Father seated on the throne, Jesus Christ seated next to him, glorified in his glorified body at the resurrection. And then he says, I pray the Father, he will send you another comforter. We have the Holy Spirit here with us now and today. We know he lives inside of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6, we are called the temple of God. Other scriptures talk about our heart. This is the temple where the Holy Spirit revives or lives in. There are two people who house, or two entities, or two deities, whatever, it's not deities, but that house the temple of us, our recreated spirit upon our salvation, and the Holy Spirit of God. They dwell together in our heart, and we are the temple of God, according to 1 Corinthians. The world, it says here, does not know him, but we can know them. How can we know him? Turn with me to chapter 8 of Romans, verse 14. So just understand that for a minute. Just allow that to wrap. Don't let this be old hat to you if you've been saved for a long time, because there's no way we know all of who he is, or all has not been revealed to us as of yet. But we are the temple of the living God. We, you and I. He's chosen us here at Spirit of Life Church and in churches all across the world today to house his presence in all of who he is. That ought to humble you. Because if you think about what you did yesterday, did you know the Lord was with you through every single moment yesterday, whether it be on a soccer field and you were encouraging kids in the rain, or whether you be at work, you know, cussing out your boss, not that we would ever do that, or yelling at your kids or getting in an argument with your spouse or whatever it may be. The Lord is with us always as Christians. And the more we become aware of his presence in us, the more we will follow his lead. You see, the Holy Spirit leads us. The Bible calls us sheep. Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a rancher. But in doing studies through the Bible, I do understand this fact that sheep are led by a shepherd. And they follow the shepherd's voice. The shepherd is not behind the sheep cracking a whip, shooting guns to get them to go where he wants them to go. Now, that's called a cattle drive, right? Cattle are driven. They are being pressed by outside pressures, right? Cowboys on horses, or now they're on four-wheelers, or even I've seen it in helicopters. They're driving the cattle to go where they need to go. It's an outside external pressure. That is not who we are as children of God. We are sheep being led by a voice, being led by a shepherd. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Is it true today that you and I as sons of God, that's daughters of God too, right? This was just one word for all of man, can be led by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. The question is, are we being led? Are we allowing him to be led? Because truly in this church right now, we all have different levels of awareness of who the Holy Spirit is. Some of us are being led by him a lot more than others. Some of us have allowed him to be involved in every decision we make. Others, we forget about him. Or we just don't know who he is. And that's the point. That's where we're getting to. His nature and his leading. In John chapter 16, verse 6 through 7, Jesus speaking again says it like this. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart." What did he speak to them? We already went to John chapter 14. All this is connected. He was speaking to them, "I'm going to send you another comforter." Why? Because I'm going to go away. Well, the disciples have walked with Jesus now for years. And this made them sad. And we talk about him having to die, him having to leave. So this is why Jesus is saying, sorrow has filled your heart. But verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now right here is quite a statement that Jesus is saying. Has Jesus ever lied? No. The answer is no, guys. Yeah. Jesus has never lied, nor will he ever lie. Okay? Right? And so he's walked with the disciples for this amount of time, and he's telling them, "I'm going to tell you the truth," as if he's never done that before. So he's telling them how important this is by setting it up with this phrase, "I tell you the truth." In other words, pay close attention. I know you're sad because I'm leaving, but I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient. That word means it is better. It is agreeable. It is profitable for you that I go away. "For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I leave, I will send him unto you." Jesus himself is saying this is better. You know, most of us think it would be awesome, and I'm one of those people, to walk with, be one of the 12 and walk with Jesus in his ministry when he was on earth, to listen to him teaching in person, to minister and witness his miracles and the way that he ministered and the way that he brought healing to the lives of those that he came into contact with and brought truth and brought rebuke and to witness all those things that he did on his earthly ministry. But Jesus is saying what we have now is better. Why is it better? Jesus was with the disciples, but he wasn't in the disciples. It's better because the Holy Spirit, another comforter, he's in each and every one of us. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16, we already read it. He says, another comforter. Now, some of this, if you've taken the Connect group, we've gone through this already. But he says another comforter. So who was the first comforter? If Jesus is saying, "I send you another comforter," who was the first one? It was Jesus. Jesus was the one comforting the disciples. Jesus was the one guiding them into all truth. Jesus was the one, you know, sharing or answering questions that they had. Jesus was the one walking with them, ministering to them. So he's telling them, don't be afraid. Don't be sorrowful. I am sending you another comforter, and it's better for you that I leave and send this other comforter to you. Now, this word another, some of you heard us teaching before, but it bears repeating. This word another means another of the same kind. Okay, and if you want to picture it like this, if Jesus was an apple, okay, he's not an apple, by the way, but if Jesus was an apple and he's leaving, he's saying, "I'm going to send you another of the same kind." So if Jesus handed you an orange, he gave you another, but an orange is not equal to an apple. It's still a fruit, It's another kind of apparel, but it's of a different sort. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you another just like me. So the Holy Spirit is another apple, but it's better than just an apple. It's all the apples ever made and everywhere at all times. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who he's sending you. You got to understand this. If Jesus was alive today, he says, it's better for you that I leave. If Jesus was alive today, never left, and he's still upon the earth today, you're like, that would be wonderful. Yeah, it would be fantastic. But we would be at a disadvantage, you and I. Because if we wanted to see Jesus, and some of this comes out of John Bevere's book on the Holy Spirit, we'd have to fly to wherever he was. He's probably over in Israel. So we'd have to land in Tel Aviv Airport, which would become the busiest airport in the world if Jesus resided in that area. And then what would we have to do? Well, if we could get a flight, we have to go through security, which is a pain in itself. But you're going to go see Jesus. So that security line is going to be even worse. You have to go find where he is, which won't be hard because there's going to be a line of millions of people waiting to see Jesus. And Jesus sitting there, waiting to receive all these millions of people, if he gave each person he saw just 1 minute of time, just 60 seconds. Now, Pastor and I would be okay. We speak very fast. We get a lot accomplished. Some of you might be in trouble. You might want to write it down, you know, and just say, here, Jesus, read quickly, and then have him answer you. But anyway, you'd have 60 seconds with Jesus. At 14 hours a day, because Jesus has to eat and sleep and wants to do some other things. At 14 hours a day, 60 seconds per person, Jesus could see 840 people in one day. It would take him over 3 years to see 1 million people. You're like, well, 1 million, that's a ton of people. It is. But when you consider that there's how many billions of people on the earth and a third of them are claimed to be Christians, that's about 2 billion Christians that would want to go see Jesus. So if you're seeing 1 million every 3.25 years, it's going to take a long time to get all the way up to 2 billion people. That's not to mention the people who are scoffers who want to see him just to test him like the Pharisees always did. And they're in line taking up precious space with our Lord and Savior. I mean, come on. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, how much better is it I go away? Because now the Holy Spirit comes to all of you. You all can be with him at all times. And the Holy Spirit, as we'll get to these scriptures, is here to reveal Jesus. He's here to reveal the will of God. The Holy Spirit is another comforter, another of the same kind. So as Jesus went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, the Holy Spirit wants to go about doing good and healing all who oppress the devil, but he's going to do it through us. He's going to do to us his temple. He's going to do the same things Jesus did. God's will was revealed through everything Jesus did. Well, now God's will is revealed through everything the Holy Spirit does and says in each and every one of us. That's why this is so important what Jesus is saying. I send you another comforter of the exact same kind. We know who the Holy Spirit is. He's going to be as Jesus was. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit didn't come in flesh. The Holy Spirit's not dying for our sins. The Holy Spirit's not being resurrected. No, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was resurrected. The three are separate. And the scriptures we'll get to upon this as well. But he's saying, Jesus here, I tell you the truth. He's convincing them that they're not alone, but they'll have the Lord in them. They've not known this before. When the disciples went out before, the Holy Spirit was with them, but now he's going to begin in them. What a revelation that is. The Holy Spirit, so you got to understand, if you want to ask Jesus a question and you say to yourself, well, I can't wait to get to heaven and ask the Lord about this, ask now. The Holy Spirit knows everything. The Holy Spirit is omniscient as well. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent everywhere at once as well. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He's all powerful as well. The beauty of it is he's in us. Each and every one of us. How come Jesus could say, the works I do, you shall do greater? Because the same person who is helping Jesus to do the work in the will of the Father is in us to do the work in the will of the Father. There's no difference. The miracles Jesus did, the Holy Spirit is the one enacting those miracles. The joy that Jesus had, the peace, the love, the patience and kindness that Jesus walked in, the Holy Spirit has those too. Those are fruits of who he is, of his very nature and character and being within each and every one of us. So Jesus saying, another comforter I will send to you, another of the same kind. We are not lacking here. We praise Jesus. We exalt Jesus because that's who he is on the throne. It's his blood on the mercy seat. But he's given us another comforter that we are to get to know, to walk with, to listen to allow to lead and to guide us into all truth, that the will of God will be done. Amen? He says the word comforter. The Holy Spirit doesn't, the Amplified Bible doesn't say comforter. It says counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, standby, and strengthener. It's pretty awesome. The Holy Spirit has so many names in the Bible. We talked about this in our Connect group. One of the things that was brought out by Mr. Daniel is fantastic. He said this statement right here. I never thought of that before. As Christians, so often we don't relate to the Holy Spirit as we relate to Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. Because the Holy Spirit has so many different names. It's not just Jesus, the man who came as a child, who died and rose again. It's not God the Father, the creator of all things, who we relate to, we cry out Abba to through Jesus now. But the Holy Spirit, not only is he a counselor and a helper and an intercessor and an advocate and a standby, he's also called the Spirit of might, of wisdom, of knowledge, of revelation, the Spirit of prophecy, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of our Lord, the Spirit of God. He's got all these, but if you sum it all up, what do these all do? They help. He is our helper. That is the best word to describe who he is and his role to be in our lives today. He is our helper. Sadly, many Christians today, we don't seek him as a person. We're seeking a power. We're seeking a move. We're seeking an experience, but not him as a person. And part of that's because of bad doctrine. Part of that's because of ignorance. But when you say the Holy Spirit's upon me, it's a person that's manifesting his presence to you. When we say, oh, it's a move of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a move of power. It wasn't a move of an entity. It's a move of a person. Of a holy person who is all God. And he's inside of each and every one of us. Too many of us keep him just standing by. We keep him on standby. That word standby is awesome, but not if you're ignoring him, right? If Beth is representing the Holy Spirit in my life. Notice I chose Beth. Sorry, Adam. But Beth is representing the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm, you know, I've got the decision to make. Where am I going to go to school? Or better yet, let's just go to a real decision. I had to leave teaching, okay? I have a master's degree in education. I have a bachelor's degree in science. And I taught for 14 years. And Pastor Adam comes to me and he says, hey, you ever thought about just joining me at the church in ministry? I'm like, no, I haven't. Not really. Nor do I want to. But I had to think about this. You know, he brought this to me. For me to just shut it down, I stopped being led by the Spirit. So I have this decision to make. And Beth is representing the Holy Spirit in my life. And so I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what I should do. I've been teaching. I have retirement. I have benefits. I have three children. They need health care. Hey, Kendall, what do you think? What should I do? Okay, thanks for your opinion. And I go on, and I go to next, and I call up Adam's dad. Hey, Dick, what do you think that I should do? Okay, that's fantastic. Man, I just don't know what to do. I mean, I'm thinking about this. I'm praying about this. The whole time, the Holy Spirit's right here. And then finally, I get to my end, and the decision has to be made. The school year's coming up, and all of a sudden, I just say, well, I don't know. I guess I'll pray about it. Ding, ding, ding. Why not start there? The Holy Spirit's here, but too many of us just walk around our lives ignoring him, and he's right here the whole time. The one who knows everything about everything is with us all the time. We're not receiving help because we're ignoring him, but we can. He knows everything there's to know about cooking. The Holy Spirit does. You have a question on how to make your, you know, souffles just extra fluffy? The Holy Spirit knows. I have no idea. Don't ask me. He knows everything there is about mechanical work. You got a new car. You got a new bike you want to work on. Guess what? He knows everything there is to know about transmissions. But do we ask him? He knows everything that there is to know about buying a house, what house to buy, when to put your house on the market, where to look for a house. He knows everything there is about marriage. About parenting, how to parent. The Holy Spirit knows how to raise your children to the best that it can be done. You got to realize, you and I can do nothing to the best it can be done without his help. Absolutely not. We can't even walk in a straight line to the best that it can be done without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now that may seem silly, but he's there to help us. He's there. He knows everything about buying a car. What if we try to be led by the Spirit? We try to be spiritual about buying a car. Well, you go to the car lot. Well, I'm going to go to Chrysler because it's almost like Christ. So I'm going to buy a Chrysler. Or no, we know, we've all heard this joke, right? I need to go buy a Honda because they're all in one accord, right? So that's scriptural. Or if Jesus were to buy a motorcycle, it'd be a Triumph because David let him in on a Triumph. No, we're not led that way. I know those are bad jokes, but that's the way we get led without asking the Holy Spirit's help. He knows what car to buy. I bought 7 cars in the last 3 years. I'm not kidding. Isn't that sad? I trade them in. You know, it's not like I'm buying each one's new outright. But it's awesome because Mark got a new car in his lot. I'm like, I could use that. Here you go, Mark. I trade in my car. I take that one. Oh, look, I can use that. I trade it in. Oh, wait a minute. This one, this is the Cadillac. I like it, but it won't pull a pop-up. And Kendall and I want to get a pop-up, so I trade that in, get a Durango. Or no, I had a Ford Explorer Sport Track. I went up a hill in Bloomington. I kid you not, because I didn't ask the Holy Spirit about it. I'm just trading in cars, right? But I'm trusting in Mark. But see, that's wrong. Mark's not the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit in me. He had a vehicle available. So I got the Sport Track, and I like the Sport Track, by the way. But the camper, I went to Bloomington. We were going to Starve Hollow. Went on a back road. We went up a hill. I had it floored 8 miles an hour. I thought Kendall's going to have to get the van behind me and push. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I was nervous. I'm like, if I got to back this, where am I going to go? I can't go anywhere. So I'm like, all right, Mark, I'm gonna trade this in for the Durango. It pulled the pop-up better, but up a hill, it still just lagged. So now I have an Expedition. It's an 8-cylinder, and it pulled the pop-up great. So what do? Get rid of the pop-up. It is what it is. But we ought to be led by the Spirit in all these things. He will direct us to where we need to go. Please hear my heart here, okay? All right. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Let's take a look at this. Yeah. And then, so we got a new camper. We haven't pulled it yet. But if it struggles to pull it, Mark, yeah. Get a diesel, okay. Proverbs 3, we all know these scriptures, but do we understand what they mean to our lives? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I already shared with you, a heart is a temple of God, where our recreated spirit, that's the miracle in your life that is greater than any other miracle you ever receive, even healing, even a restored marriage. Your spirit was recreated, and life eternal for you is in heaven with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, where your spirit coincides with the Holy Spirit. I got so much in me, I got to stop. Imagine sharing the same space with somebody. Imagine in September if you and I shared the same mind space. Would she ever have to audibly speak to me? No, her thoughts would automatically be my thoughts. We are the temple of the living God in us, the Holy Spirit, and our spirit reside together in the same space. And we're going to talk about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is full of scriptures that show how he leads, how he speaks, how he guides, how he directs. But we're not there yet. Proverbs 3, 5, you got to come back, right? You guys all planning on coming back? Awesome. If they said no, you're preaching next week. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We're trusting with our heart, our spirit who's communing with the Holy Spirit. That's who we are to be trusting with. And lean not on our minds, our reasoning. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Too many of us, most of us, I believe, I know me and most of my life, are head-led. We're led by our head and reasoning. We make every decision in our lives based on research we've done, which isn't a bad thing, based on friends we've talked to, which isn't a bad thing as well, and not based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. We use our own reasoning. I'm a facts guy. I love facts and figures before I make a decision. But if that alone is driving my decision and the one that I make, I'm missing the Lord. I'm missing the Lord. Andy told me I need to get rocked for my new camper to put underneath there so it doesn't sink in the ground, right? So I need to put gravel down. He gave me the name of a guy. I didn't call him up and just order it. I called him up and talked to him. And then he's a witness with this guy. Yeah, I do business with him and then call him. If I just went off of Andy and then something happened and he ripped me off, I can't get mad at Andy. That's my fault. I was led by head. I was led by my reasoning, my thoughts. Well, if Andy got him and Andy trusted him, then I should trust him. That's not how it works. Well, he has a fish on his dump truck. Run the other way. You know how many times, because we are taught in the church to believe, to trust, to forgive, to love, Christians are scammed and taken advantage of because someone had a fish on their truck or a cross around their neck. Now, I'm not disparaging fish or cross, but what I'm saying is if you're trusting in a person, you're not trusting in the Lord. If you're trusting in what your eyes see, if you're trusting in what is obvious, well, I'm looking through the phone book, there's a little fish right next to his, and God we trust, next to his business card. So, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Who's he leading, guiding, and directing to you? He may be having you go over here. Someone just starting their business, didn't put a fish on there, but he's a newborn again Christian, and he's trusting the Lord by faith for his business to take off, and that's who you should have gone with. But you didn't, because you were led by what was obvious, by your head. We got to be led by our spirit, by him, by the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us. It's better for you to learn right now, I don't care how old you are, that you are not smart enough to run your life. I told this to the young adults. I don't know if it sunk in or not. So now I got on tape and hit rewind. I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to run my whole life. I can't. Not to the best way it can be. I'm not smart enough to be a husband. Are you kidding me? What was it, be 17 years this year, Kendall? Got it right. Check. 17 years. I know her better than anybody here, but I don't know her. I don't. I can't know and operate for her the best as a husband naturally, only spiritually. Because the beauty about our relationship is she's a born-again Christian. Her spirit has been recreated. And the same Holy Spirit in me resides in her. And the best way for us to get to know each other is spirit to spirit. It may start physical, but that's the least of all relationships. And then it may turn into emotional and soulical, where we connect on a deeper level. But even that pales to a spiritual relationship. And so the best day of our marriage should be our last. That's how a Christian marriage, that's the way God intended it to be. Amen? All right. If we were led by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time, do you realize that we would never make a wrong decision? How many of you, don't raise your hand, have made a wrong decision in your life, and you're like, ooh, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Or just said words you wish you could take back. You know that never happens if you're led by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. How many of you made a bad investment and lost money? Don't raise your hands. You know that wouldn't have happened if you're led by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. Anybody here had a knockdown, drag-out fight with your kids or your spouse? Not if we're led 100% of the time by the Holy Spirit. You realize there'd be zero divorce in the world if everybody was led by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. Zero abortions in the world. Probably no Facebook. I'm just kidding. I don't know what that. Amen. That's right. But just think about that for a minute. The one inside of you and me knows everything about everything. If we truly allowed him to lead and direct and guide our lives, if we truly submit ourselves to him wholly, 100% of the time, there would be no wrong decisions. Even if my spouse was not surrendering, we should do this the other way. Even if I am not surrendering the Holy Spirit 100% of the time, because Kendall is, we're not going to be in a huge argument, because she's not going to argue, but she's going to know the right thing to say that will diffuse the situation. She's going to know the right thing to say that will bring truth and light to the situation, and therefore I have a choice to either agree with the truth and the light or to be in complete flat-out rebellion. And then the Lord will give them over, you know. Have you ever noticed in the Bible when the Lord says something twice, that's how they emphasize something? Like, verily, verily, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you. And he really means it. If you're ever in communion with the Lord and he says, Kenny, Kenny, oh, just humble yourself right then. Just bow right then. Get on your face right then. Because you know you've done it if he's calling your name out twice. But we got to hear it. We got to be aware of his presence. We got to be aware of his leading and his guiding and his instruction in our life. See, too often, especially as charismatic Christians, which we are, boy, we love the word of God. And we walk this life. This is a walk of faith. We also love the Holy Spirit's move and presence. But there's been such bad doctrine out there on who he is and how he operates that charismatics seek constantly a new experience. They seek constantly a new move of the Spirit. They're constantly seeking the spectacular and they're missing the supernatural leading and guiding and direction of God in us every single day. I shared that at the well, and this is what caught my attention when I was listening to this, and there's a statement that Kenneth Hagin made. Too many Christians are seeking after the spectacular. They're chasing every movement and wind of the Lord, and they're missing the supernatural in their life every day, the constant leading and guiding and direction. Part of the reason for this is, as a church, we've chosen to view the Holy Spirit as a holy entity or power rather than as a most holy deity, as a person. Look at this with me again in John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit is a person. Pastor touched on it last week. We're going to touch on it again because it's fun. It's a good reminder. In verse 16, just mark with yourself how many times Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, uses he, him, his. And I will pray the Father and he, that's talking about God the Father, shall give you another comforter that he, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him, the Holy Spirit, not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Right there, Jesus is telling you, he is a person for you to fellowship with, to dwell with, to commune with, to partner with, to be in intimate relationship with. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus speaking says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go, for if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 8, and when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 13 of John 16, howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. How many times is that? You might count? I think it's like 15. And then we read five scriptures. This is Jesus, who does not tell a lie, speaking of the Holy Spirit as a he, as a him, that you should know, fellowship with, commune with, and partner with in your life. Pastor made a joke last week about that song, Send It On Down. I never sang that one, by the way. That was new to me. I heard you say that before, but send it on down. Send the Holy Ghost on down. That is wrong to call him an it. He's not an it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. But here's where the confusion comes. So we don't run away from anything here at Spirit of Life Church. Here's where some of the confusion comes. So let's look at the scripture and see what the scripture really says. Verse 16 of chapter 8 of Romans. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So here you have Paul saying the Holy Spirit itself. Well, this is a bad translation. That same word itself was translated him 2,000 times. It was translated his 1,000 times. It was translated he 252 times. It was translated himself 58 times. So it's the same word for himself. It's the same word for he, his, or him. But the problem is we get bad doctrine and we put it into songs and then people think songs are doctrine. By the way, that is not true. Okay, be careful what you sing. And make sure that, you know, sing what is appropriate for your life. Okay, we do that to this, not saying we're perfect, but when we look at words and songs to bring to you guys, we want to bring words that line up with the word because we don't want to be singing, send it on down. Because it's not biblical. And it gives a wrong view of who the Holy Spirit is. What are you looking for when you sing something like send it all down? You're looking for a power. You're looking for an entity. You're looking for a cloud. You're looking for anything but a person. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This scripture came alive in our Connect group, and I've not been able to release it. I've been on this scripture in my life for a long time now. But Paul is closing his letter to the church of Corinth, and he says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, right there, he's identifying an attribute that goes with Jesus Christ. By grace, you've been saved, right? Through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God, lest no man should boast. It's the grace of Jesus. It's our salvation is based on what Jesus did. That's what Paul is writing here. That simple phrase, this is what it means. And it says, the love of God, God who is love. See, we're getting confused in this world today that love is God. It's not true. God is love, but love is not God. Showing compassion and loving everybody, we are to, but also in bringing truth. To just say, oh, well, your God is love, therefore you have to love me. I do love you, but I don't love your sin. Love itself, the act of loving is not God. God is love. He sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to die. And if I don't acknowledge that there's sin in my life, if you don't acknowledge that there was sin in your life, then why would you ever need the life of Jesus Christ to be sacrificed? See, that's the issue with it. So God is love. But we're getting confused in saying that love is God. Does that make sense? And so because we're saying love is God, oh, we just love everybody. Don't offend anybody. You can't bring truth to a situation that may be sin. No, you can. If you're sleeping together before marriage, that's not right in the eyes of the Lord. He calls that a sin. But I love you, so let's get it fixed. And God loves you. Love is never the issue with God. He's already sent his son. He sacrificed his son. That's more than any of us have done. I'm not going to alter up Noah for you guys. No, Jesus did that. Praise the Lord. Amen? So this is more profound than we'd like to give it to, this last closing scripture in the 2 Corinthians here. But then it goes on to say, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, which is the same word as Spirit, the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. You don't have communion with a force or a power or an it. You have communion with a person. Communion means fellowship and intimacy and partnership. And you don't have that with a power or an it. This chair is an it. I don't commune with this chair. I don't have a fellowship or partnership with this chair. It's an it. Hey, chair, let's lift this podium up on the stage. He's not a very good partner. He's not really doing his part, is he? No, it's an it. It's not a person. It's not going to help me. And we treat the Holy Spirit that way. We're not looking for help. We're looking for a power. We're in church. Now's the time to get with the Holy Spirit so something miraculous can happen. That's treating him as an it. That's treating him as an entity or a power. Not as a person that you walk with day by day by day, leading, guiding, and directing you whether you should have been in this church this morning or not. Which I believe you are. Praise God. I'm glad you're here. Amen. So our communion is not with an it. Pastor said this last week, and it's a great example. So if I refer to Adam, it did a great job last week. What a wonderful sermon it gave. That's just rude. I can call an it. Kendall walks in the house. Hey, honey, I'm glad you're home. It just walked in the door. No, can't do that. That's rude. My guitar's an it. I can't fellowship with my guitar. If I hug it, it's not going to hug back. I like my guitar. I can talk to my guitar. It's not going to talk back, though. Now, I know some of you electric guitarists say you can make it sing or talk. That's not really talking. That's okay. I get it. I understand. But we got to understand, if we look at the Holy Spirit just as an entity or a power to expect to do something at church, we're missing it. We're missing him and who he longs to be in our lives. He is a person. Holy Spirit 101. He is a person that we are to get to know. What do people have? Mind, will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit has a mind. He speaks of it in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. The Holy Spirit has a will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11. I'm not turning to all these. I'm just capturing on the audio. So if you want to go back and look them up. He has a will. He says he gives as he wills. The Holy Spirit has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12, 11. The Holy Spirit speaks. Hebrews chapter 3 talks of it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He can be grieved or sorrows, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He can be lied to. I can't lie to my guitar. Hey, guitar, you're ugly. Hey, guitar, you didn't play well today, or you don't sound good today. It's not going to respond. It's not a person, but the Holy Spirit is. Emotions get, you know, I've got time. That was faith, brother. John, Genesis 1:26 says this. Genesis 1:26 says this. And God said, let us, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. After our likeness, the Holy Spirit, we are in their image. When we look at each other and we look at it through the eyes of the Spirit, we can see God, we can see Jesus, we can see the Holy Spirit. We are in their image. It's all three of them. It's all three of their image. And let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, the earth, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He is a person. He has emotions. He has a mind. He has a will. And we are to treat him as such and to revere him as God. He will talk to us. Just as Jesus was with the disciples, he is a divine person that we can talk to today. do we pray to him? We pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can talk to the Holy Spirit. We're like, well, how does that work? You don't pray to him? Well, I talk to you guys right now. I'm not praying to you, am I? Right? This is how we're supposed to be with the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's the one who walks with us. Let's look at some of the examples of this, and then we'll close here. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Let's look at this. Here's why. Pastor said it last week. The book of Acts is still being written today. It's, you know, some Bibles, they give a title, says the Acts of the Apostle. That's not true necessarily. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. We're going to get to this later, but how did Jesus, when healings came and manifested through Jesus or fed the 5,000, who was doing the work? Who was doing the manifestation of the healing? The Holy Spirit was. The Holy Spirit's called the finger of God. In the beginning, when God created, who was brooding over everything as God was speaking? The Holy Spirit was. So put this picture in your mind here. God has thoughts and intents to create. He speaks the word. Who's called the word? Jesus Christ is called the word. So God, through his heart, speaks what he wants to see happen. Then who goes forth and does the work? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes forth and does the work. He's longing to go forth today to do the will of God. What's impeding him? We are. We're not acknowledging him. We're only calling on him, expecting him to do something miraculous one day a week for a couple of hours instead of communion with him, fellowship with him, partnering with him every single day. And when I say partner, he's the senior partner. He's leading us. In other words, I don't have a right to believe what I want to believe. I believe what's in his word by revelation of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who quickens it to my flesh, or to me, to my spirit, not my flesh. Flesh is crucified. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. As we read this in Acts, how the Holy Spirit was involved in Acts as you read this book of the Bible is how he still desires to be involved today in this church, in the church as a whole. I would encourage you for the month of May, I don't know what your Bible reading schedule is like, but try to read through the book of Acts and notice in every instance where the Holy Spirit was involved and get an understanding of how he desires to be involved today in the church. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I believe, we believe, tongues is for today. We believe miracles, healings, signs, wonders are for today. Restored relationships are for today. Prosperity is for today. Why? Because I can do more for the kingdom of God with some money in my pocket than I can poor, broke, in a home with no way to get anywhere. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is desiring to continue to show the will of God, just as Jesus showed the will of God. Everything Jesus said and did was revealing the will of God the Father. When he healed, he's showing you it's God's will to heal. When he forgave sins, like the man who was brought down through the roof, he said, your sins be forgiven. He was showing you it's God's will for sins to be forgiven. The Holy Spirit now is revealing the same thing in us. Acts 8:29. We'll read this way. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. The Spirit said to Philip. It doesn't say it was an audible voice. You have to add to the Bible to say it was an audible voice. But Philip knew the Spirit was speaking to him to go join himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian. That's for us today. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. How do you know he's speaking to you? If you're waiting for a spectacular audible voice, probably not going to happen that way. But instead, it's a supernatural leading, guiding, direction through peace, through a knowing, a co-witnessing. And we'll get to these scriptures as we move forward in this series. It says that he spoke to Philip. How many of us desire to hear him today? I would encourage you that you are hearing them, but we've not in tune to him because we've not been fellowship with him. We've not been communing with him like we should. Chapter 10, verse 9. I'm just going through a couple here. 10, 19 through 20 says it like this. While Peter thought on the vision, so he had a dream, right? It's about him eating whatever was unclean. So he's thinking on the vision that he had about all these animals, all right? The Spirit said to him, again, it doesn't say an audible voice. Be careful looking for a voice in this world. There are lots of voices. There's lots of voices in this world. We ought to know his voice. And that's a knowing on the inside. If you're looking for an audible voice, the devil can do some things too. He's the prince and power of the air. Right? I gave this example in our young adult Bible study. I'll probably use it again, but it'll bear repeating. Be careful putting out fleeces to hear from God. Well, God, if this is really you, then close that door right there. Whoa, what's wrong with that? Gideon put out a fleece, didn't he? Gideon said, you know, let the dew only be on the fleece and dry all around. If it's you, God, next day let this be dry and all the ground be wet. If it's you, God. Yeah, but Gideon wasn't saved. He wasn't born again. He wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. Why did they cast lots to see God's will and direction? They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit of God to know the direction and plan and the will of God. We are. We are. We shouldn't, and I'm wrong, I've done it too. I've heard testimonies, and I went home and tried to do the same thing. This lady, I was listening to a testimony, this was back when I was in college, and she said, God, I just need to know that you're real. She was laying in her bed, she put her arm up. If you're real, put my arm down. And her arm went down. She did it 3 times, and she believes the Lord is real now. She's giving this testimony of him. So I went home that night and said, God, if you're real, put my arm down. Nothing's happening. God, if you're real, come on, put my arm down. Maybe it's left arm. God, if you're real, put this arm down. Nothing happened. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, everything's wrong with that. I was already born again. If I'm doubting that God is real, I'm like the unsaved looking for a sign. It says the wicked and perverse generation looks for a sign. They don't know the Lord. I did. That was wrong of me. And the devil, the prince power of the air, he can do some things. I heard another testimony. The guy said, you know, I just pray, if this is you, God, you want me to go this direction, send 5 trucks that are red across my path. I just listened to that testimony. Now, what if I would have said that? I get in 465 after painting a Taco Bell in Westfield, and 7 red trucks go by. I kid you not, they all say Bone Dry Roofing, and they're all red. Now, what if I had prayed the same thing? Oh, Lord God, if I'm going the right direction, send 7 red trucks my way. And then there they are. That wasn't the Lord. They just finished the job wherever they finished the job. That's why you gotta be careful doing that. We gotta know inside. If a prophet comes to you and says, you need to marry this person and go to Africa and be a missionary. So what do you do? I don't even know that person. But the two of you get married because that prophet said it. And you go to Africa. 3 months later, you're divorced. You're broke. You didn't have the money to go to Africa. And you can't stand Africa all of a sudden. And then you come to me for ministry. Well, the prophet said, what about the Spirit inside of you? Are you born again? Yes. Did you bear witness with what the prophet said? No, but the prophet said, then you're wrong. You were wrong for following what the prophet said. Prophets can miss it. The same Holy Spirit in them that's prophesying is in you to bear witness with what they're prophesying about. But see, we keep chasing after words or powers or entities. We have to know him for ourselves. In closing, Acts 10:19-20, that's where I was reading. While Peter thought about the vision that he had, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men seek thee, arise, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I, the Holy Spirit, have sent them. We want that in our lives. We want to be directed by the Holy Spirit on who we should go and commune with. Absolutely. I don't want to spend time in relationships I don't have time for. I have enough relationships I want to bear fruit in. Amen. And then the last one, Acts chapter 16. And then we're closing here. Kimberly, you can just put on whatever back there. I'm not going to have the worship team come back up. Acts chapter 16, verses 5 through 7 says it like this. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in their number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, this is speaking of Paul, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You're like, wait a minute. Weren't we told to go throughout all the world and preach the gospel of good news? Yeah, we were told. That doesn't mean you were told to go to each and every place. Jaden and Elizabeth and Lydia are going to Uganda. They were told. I wasn't. If I go now to Uganda, I'm wasting my time, effort, resources, and energy. And they're not going to receive me. Because I wasn't sent by the Holy Spirit of God to go to Uganda, but they were. They're going to be received. The work of the Lord is going to continue because of their obedience, leading, guiding, and direction of the Holy Spirit while they're over there. And then they're going. They were forbidden. Verse 7, after that, they were come to Mysia. They attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Do you want to be saved from wasting your time, energy, and resources from going to places you shouldn't go? Absolutely. Do you want to be saved from going to dangerous situations you never should have been in? Someone came to me. The car broke down on the wrong side of town. And they were scared. They were upset. They were frustrated. We started talking back and forth. And I said, well, what led you to be on that side of town anyway? Well, you know, I had a check, but I went anyway in faith. Whoa, you had a check and you didn't obey it? The Holy Spirit was leading you not to go to that direction. You never would have been there. You never would have broke down. Never would have had a trouble that you'd had. You shouldn't have been in that area to start with. We've got to start obeying and listening to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and direction in our life. Would it be nice if he would have come down, parted the clouds, and said, hey, dummy, don't go there. Yeah, it would have been great. We'd have known right then. That's so often not how it works. We must start checking in with him, realizing that we can fellowship with him and be helped all day long in every situation. Please stand with me. All day long in every situation. I forget who I was reading. I think it was Practicing the Presence of God. Is that Brother Lawrence? Maybe it is. But I was reading somebody, and he said, but I don't think it was him. It could be. Anyway, bear with me. I read a lot. It gets all mixed up every once in a while. But he said this, I'm going to make it my goal to have one whole day where all I think about is the Lord the whole day. So he went about the first day, and he got through about 10 minutes before his mind got distracted and thought on something else. I thought that was pretty good because, I told you my testimony. I said, I'm going to pray in the Spirit all the way from when I leave the house to here. It's 15 minutes. I made it to the first road a minute and a half later. He made it 10 minutes. Next day, half an hour. Next day, increasing his time, thinking and dwelling only on the Lord and the things of the Lord. I forget how long he said it took him to go one whole day where he's in the presence of God all day long, acknowledging who he is. But it was a long time. We got to start to train ourselves to listen to the Spirit who's inside of us. Our spirit in communion with his Spirit is how we are to walk, live, breathe, and do the will of God on earth right now. Amen. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, first of all, for sending your son, Jesus, who came, lived, obeyed, died, and now risen again at your right hand, putting his blood on the mercy seat, that we can come to you, Father, in his name. And I thank you for sending another comforter. That we are not down here helpless, wallowing like a fish out of water, wondering what direction we should go, but that we can, like an arrow, pointed, directed, loosed in flight, hit our mark every single time in Jesus' name. Led by you, Holy Spirit, in all things. Guided by you, Holy Spirit, in all things. I pray right now for each and every one of us here today and those who may be listening now or later on, that your direction and guiding that you are giving to us every day, Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears to hear your voice. You would open our eyes to see your way and help our understanding to trust you in all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding and reasoning, but to be led by you, Holy Spirit, in all things, in all ways, in all relationships, in all endeavors, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, hope to see you next week as we continue.